Welcome to CCWC Live Blog Talk. I'm your host, Lorian Robinson. Special thanks to Michael Phillips for our show introduction and to Tracy McNeil for tonight's show. With us today, we have the pleasure of having Judy A. Smith. Her groundbreaking career is the inspiration behind the primetime hit show Scandal, which stars Kerry Washington in the role of Olivia Pope. By way of background, Judy is a lawyer by trade. She is a graduate of the American University Washington College of Law, where she was notably the first African-American woman to serve as executive editor of Law Review. She has held key positions at NBC and the White House. She owns her own crisis management firm, Smith & Company, and has become the go-to person in times of crisis, including the Iran-Contra hearing, President Clinton's scandal involving Monica Lewinsky, and more. Judy is the author of the new book, Good Self, Bad Self, Transforming Your Worst Qualities into Your Biggest Asset. Judy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I really want to jump right into this. I'm very curious. Tell us about your journey. How and why did you make the transition from lawyer to crisis management expert? And was this something that you planned, or did it just happen?
Well, you know, I would like to tell you that I had some really big, you know, three-year strategy, and I executed on it, but that would not be the truth. It just really organically happened. I have always been doing crisis, and, you know, someone told me that I argued well and that I should try law school. So I, of course, took that as a compliment and tried law school. Actually, from law school, my first job was supposed to be at this New York firm called Rogers & Wells in New York. And I got sidetracked and ended up working at the Iran-Contra investigation, which involved President Reagan in exchange for arms for hostages. So it was truly, truly by coincidence that sort of started me down that path.
And what skills do you draw upon, and what skills do you have to acquire and develop to be a crisis management expert?
That's a really good question. I think that the skill set, the ones that have really, really helped me, is in particular with the crisis that involves a legal background. It helps to have that, you know, to really understand what a client can say and what a client can't say. And I really love working with the attorneys to develop a communication strategy that complements a legal strategy. Some of the skill sets I think that, you know, you want to have, you want to, I think, be a strategic thinker. You want to be able to see the big picture, but also be able to see a smaller picture, which is, you know, being able to anticipate, you know, your opposition sort of next 4 or 5 moves. You also want to know the landscape, you know, the backdrop in which a crisis is operating from.
The corporate culture for women of color can be tough to navigate. What have your experience been as a woman of color navigating in the highly charged and cutthroat climates that you have worked in?
Well, you know what, I tell you, I just sort of just charge right in there. I mean, I look at crisis, it's like with politics, I don't look at crisis as, you know, Democratic or Republican, I just see crisis. And so, you know, I just charged in there. We have been able to work with various corporations at the high level, and that's been a blessing. And, you know, I've always thought that you work hard and you let your work speak for itself. And I know that can be a little difficult in the age in which we live in, which is self-promoting and, you know, everybody, you know, wants their own TV show and 15 minutes of fame. But I think there's some value in doing a good job.
And did you have a mentor? And if yes, how did you find that mentor, or how did that mentor find you?
You know what, I have to say I haven't had one, honestly.
In your career, you have not had a mentor?
I haven't. You know, from time to time, there might be people that I might call, but no, I haven't had one. You know, I just, the 20 years or so that I've been doing it just it's gone by so quickly. And I think, you know, I just happened to look up, you know, a year or so ago, and all of a sudden I've done all these kinds of prices and had this kind of experience. But, no, I just really took it one crisis at a time.
Well, and if we were to summarize all of the different crisis matters that you've handled, would you say that there are any particular takeaways?
Well, I think there are a few, and I'll go quick. I think, you know, a big takeaway from it, I think, is that people tend to run away from their crisis and problems instead of owning them. So I think that's one. I think the other thing is that, you know, sometimes we tend to get into a little denial, you know, about it. Like, it's going to go away. It's not as bad as one would think. And that is really never helpful.
And let's talk about your television show, Scandal. You know, I watched Scandal, and I actually enjoyed a lot. How did that show come about?
Well, you know what? I had written a book, Good Stuff, Bad Stuff, as you had mentioned. And, you know, my book agent had introduced me to some TV agents. And, you know, people had talked about me doing a TV show for about 20 years, and I didn't really pay any attention to it. So, I mean, this time I actually followed up, and I, you know, went to go talk to a few folks about it and, you know, thought that Shonda Rhimes was the best person for the show. I mean, she is incredible, and so is Kerry Washington. I think Shonda has really done a great job at, you know, sort of taking that high-stake, incredible crisis world that I live in and dramatizing it for television and making it interesting. But, you know, actually we worked on the show for about, you know, a year and a half before it actually got on the air, believe it or not.
How involved are you in the development of the storylines? You all are now, you just entered your second season. Are you involved in each episode?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're so excited about second season, and I just want to thank everybody out there that has supported the show. It has meant an awful, awful lot. What I try to do with the show is really focus on the crises that are involved in the show and, you know, how Olivia and her team would resolve the crisis. And, you know, sometimes I'm on set, I go over every script, send notes, and, you know, the working relationship with Kerry and Shonda, you couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, Kerry is just such an extraordinary actress, and she's a great Olivia Pope.
There's a lot of scandal on that show, the relationship between Olivia and the president. It's jaw-dropping and fascinating. And I know that the people on tonight's call, they want to know, how close is the Olivia Pope character to you?
All right, let me get that relationship thing squared away first. Didn't sleep with the president, so we should probably get that out of the way. You know, look, I think in my job, and I hope that viewers see this with Kerry, is, you know, the level, Olivia is strong. I think she is savvy. She is smart. She is so, so compassionate about her clients and the work that she does. And she's really good at her job, and she's confident. And those are all the things, you know, that I think are amazing and good. And, you know, when she plays the win. So I hope that in my work that, you know, those qualities come across, and I hope that viewers get to see those qualities in Olivia as well.
And now that you have your hand in television, do you see yourself creating any additional television shows or maybe some movies?
I mean, you know, I'll have to see. I mean, you want to, you know, as I'm learning with this show, it is obviously all in the idea, but also in the storytelling as well. You know, if something comes in this head that I think that is worth sharing and telling, I'll certainly think about it. Absolutely.
Well, with respect to diversity and entertainment and what we're seeing on television, it seems to me today that people just have so many choices as far as seeing diverse people on TV, from talk shows to OWN to BET, other shows that are on. What are your thoughts about the portrayal of women of color on primetime television or just television as a whole? And will Scandal impact the way people view women of color?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, it's the first time on, you know, network television, what, in about 30 years, you know, where an African-American woman is being, you know, portrayed as the lead. And I think somebody had said it was the first time since Julia or Christy Love. You know, that's an incredible kind of thing. And I hope that it encourages, you know, other people to create shows that they see us in very key places. And I think that you were starting to see more of that. You know, I think there's a show, I think it was either CBS or ABC, where we have a black male lead. And look, I think it certainly obviously all makes sense. You know, you want television, I think, to reflect the world in which we live in. And it's important because you want different audiences to be able to, you know, to watch that kind of television and see themselves there.
Well, let's talk about your book, Good Self, Bad Self. What are the key takeaways that people can get from the book?
Well, I think the key takeaway for me from the book is I wanted to be able to write a book where it took the 20 years of experience, you know, that I had, put it in the book, and really sort of show everyday people that these are the kinds of core issues that can really help get you into crisis. And so you have to deal with them. Things like ego, you know, denial and fear, you know, that inability to say no, being overly accommodating, all those things can help you get into crisis. And so what I try to do is encourage people to really balance them. The other day we were talking about Senator Edwards, for example, and certainly, you know, he had to have confidence to be able to, you know, decide to run for president, and he had to, you know, and the ego gives you that, and so that's a good thing. But clearly where it got out of balance was obviously the affair why his wife was dying of cancer, and, you know, then subsequently hiding the relationship about his child. And so all of that really sort of torpedoed into something big. You know, in Washington, we always have a saying that the cover-up is always worse than the crime. It's the kinds of traits that we all think about and that we all have. And so I just encourage everybody to take a look at them and, you know, figure out which ones. Like, for example, you know, sometimes and so often you see this not only just in young teens but adults, is saying no. People have a very difficult time of that, of saying no. And sometimes when you don't say no, it leads you into a bigger problem or crisis. And so the book has everyday examples in it. I'm getting passed over for a job at work and I'm not getting a raise. How do I help navigate that? Or my son got kicked out of school for using drugs. How do I explain that? How do I tell that? Or, you know, bad relationships. So it has a lot of different examples in it that I think would be helpful.
Well, everyone who's listening, you are strongly encouraged to get the book Good Self, Bad Self, which is available on Amazon.com. You know, you talk about navigating. So I know that you have some pearls of wisdom to share. So what advice would you give to listeners when we talk about how should they go about navigating to overcome institutional barriers and obstacles in the workplace? For example, there's somebody, they want to get a promotion, but they feel or they perceive that they're unable to do it because of the glass ceiling. How do you suggest that they move forward?
I have to say, really, that in your question, I would say the first thing is that you shouldn't be perceiving that that is something that you cannot break through. That would be one. I mean, because I think if you start from that premise that it's an impossible task, that it will be an impossible task. And I think that you need to start with, you know, in particular in the workplace, you've got to have a strategy and a plan that you have to execute on it. The other thing that I think just overall in the workplace as well is that, you know, a lot of times people talk about, you know, that they can't accomplish what they want and their barriers and that sort of thing. One of the things I think has been very helpful, and I think that people should probably think about it, is what is your own brand? I mean, I often talk about that. You know, if you ask somebody in the workplace what are the three things that define you? If someone said, all right, Judy Smith, what are the three things in the workplace that you would say about her? You will want to know those things about yourself so you can then determine, is your version of your work and what you do consistent with what you think it is for other people? And I think that's important because, it has to match up. It has to match up.
And you raise a good point. You talk about knowing your brand, and it really boils down to not your perception of you, but the perception of others. In research, they found that majority coworkers do not want to give women of color or diverse individuals feedback based on the perception that diverse people don't know how to take the feedback. How can we proactively build those relationships in the workplace with our colleagues where we are making them feel comfortable with being able to give us feedback so we'll know what our brand is?
Yeah, I think that you have to start with that kind of relationship. You can't sort of just, one day come into the office and say, I'd like for you to give me feedback on the relationship, or not the relationship, but how I've been working, if you don't already have a relationship with that person. I think that as you think about your workplace relationships and dynamics, that you want to build those kinds of relationships so that you get to a point where somebody would honestly, in a very real way, give you an honest assessment. And they can only do that if you've created a comfortable atmosphere, and that's by really developing and grooming that relationship.
You have a family, you have your own business, now you have your hand in this TV show. Do you have some advice for us on how we can give our very best without burning out and accomplishing work-life balance?
Yeah, I mean, that balance is really hard. I'm not one of those people that believe that sort of this balance thing is an easy thing. It's not. I think for me, the way that I start out, because you're right, I mean, just like everybody, you've got all these balls up in the air, is I set a boundary early on about what things are the most important to me, and everything else falls behind that. So for me, it is my family, and everything else is behind that. I think that when you're balancing things, when you know what your boundaries are, what your priorities are, that it really does make it a lot easier. If I know that, and this is actually a situation I had, my son's prom was coming up, and I got called on crisis and said that, look, I would be certainly willing to help, but please understand that I have 4 days, and when those 4 days are up, I'm going to have to be at my son's prom. I can come back and help you, but I'm not going to miss that sort of, annoying moment where you're taking pictures of your son and his date and prom, and they're complaining about their mother and, that kind of thing. So I think it's boundaries. And then you struggle with it every single day. It's balance.
Well, Judy, as we close out, can you leave us with a summary or takeaway that you want us to walk away with tonight that you think we need to know, that we must know?
Yeah, I guess probably the summary or takeaway, which, you guys know this, is that, life is a journey, and I think you have to be patient with it. I try to do the best that I can do every single day, and I think if we do that, there's something to be said about that. I also think as well that, you want to find, if you don't have that already, what is important to you and what you're passionate about. For me, the reason why I do crisis is because I love it. I love helping people, and I know that sounds corny, but that's the reason why I do it, and I think that passion, because I love what I do and I like helping people, has really helped me excel in what I do. So I would just leave everybody with those words of wisdom.
Well, Judy, thank you for being with us on our show tonight. I look forward to seeing you next week at the Corporate Council Women of Color Chicago Conference, where we will continue our discussion.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm so excited about seeing everybody next week.
Okay, see you next Thursday. Thank you all for coming on tonight.
Thank you.